We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
West Virginia coach Sean Kovich and senior Mark Goetz preview next week's Big 12 championships held Monday to Wednesday at Prairie Dunes Golf Club in Hutchinson, Kansas. That's coming up right after this.
West Virginia is a special place, but it's the people that make it special.
Honestly, it is the crowd. It's the people.
This is one of the great environments. There are no pro teams in the state of West Virginia. They love West Virginia sports right here.
This is the most underrated fan base in the country.
Grass Resource, state of West Virginia, is not coal. Grass Resource is its people.
Join the climb today at WVUtimeToClimb.com.
Appreciate it. First of all, I do want to say congratulations to our assistant coach, Clay Bounds, his wife, Jessica. They just had their third child. That was right before our home tournament. So everybody's home, healthy and safe. So I do want to say congratulations to Clay on that. Also, congrats to Mark, who's on this call, who won our home tournament, obviously, about a week ago, I guess. So, it's been a difficult year. Honestly, I mean, I was thinking back to August, September. We didn't even know if we were going to play, and our schedule was totally, just messed up, I guess. And it was kind of touch and go for a while. And then the guys have really had to, just like every college athlete, endure a lot of testing, a lot of protocols. And, we haven't been able to get together as a team like we normally do. So it's definitely been a weird year. The fall was a struggle from that point. I think more just mentally and team bonding wise, it was a very tough semester. The spring, I feel like, got a little bit better. We got to travel a lot more. The protocols were kind of better understood, and we sort of made it work. And I think we've been together as a team a lot in the spring, and that certainly helped. According to GolfStat, we started 106th in the country sometime in February. We're 106, and now we're at 75, 74, something like that. So we've improved over 30 spots in the spring, and we just keep getting better and better. I mean, since Colonial back in September until our home tournament, I mean, every time we've beaten more teams each tournament, we just get slowly keep getting better. And so I think right now we're really starting to kind of build some momentum and peaking at the right time. And I think the guys are really looking forward to going back to Prairie Dunes. You know, we've been in the conference since 2016 as far as playing. You know, that was our first conference championships, 2016. And we've played, I believe, four different golf courses. So this is the first time we'll ever go back and play a course that we have played previously for a Big 12 championship. And a lot of people don't know this, but in my office, I have a printout of our score from Prairie Dunes in 2017. We shot 131 over, and I know we're going to do a lot better this year. So I'm looking forward to comparing those numbers, and because this team's really good, so I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, we'll take questions now for Coach Kovich and Mark Getz. We'll first go to John Antonik.
This is for both of you. I'll start with you, Sean. Just the catch up that you've had to do from fall. I know the great year you had, you really built your season around what you did in the fall. And so did you kind of expect this a little bit going in, knowing that, hey, I'm playing catch up and we haven't really performed and as a team and all of that?
Well, if you look at our starting lineup for 2019-20 season, so the season that got cut short, our starting lineup at Minnesota had Philip Matlari, Nico Lang, Matthew Sharpstein, Etienne Papineau, and Mark Getz. When we started this year, only Mark was the only returning starter from our opening lineup that season. So it was, I'm not going to say it was a rebuild, but it was definitely a shakeup from that since. And so we had a lot of new guys playing, a lot of freshmen, and then a lot of guys stepping up. But you know, that gave us an opportunity for guys like Trent Tipton to really develop, guys like Curtis Grant to get a lot more playing time, Logan Perkins. And so what's been really cool is seeing Mark kind of assume that leadership role and really help out the new guys and like, hey, here's how we need to do things. And so we did have to play catch up a little bit. We did have to just learn from our failures, I think, out in Texas in the fall, and then slowly get better throughout the spring. So it's been kind of, like I said, a slow improvement throughout the year. Normally, you know, we hit the ground running in the fall. We get off to a hot start and we kind of hold on for dear life in the spring. And I felt like this year we actually – you know, we got better throughout the spring, which is kind of uncommon for a team in this area of the country. But I felt like we got a lot better in February and March, and we're really starting to hit our stride now.
And for Mark, have you played enough rounds? Or are you playing what you normally play, or are you playing catch up in that regard?
I think that, you know, from a normal year, you know, obviously we haven't played as many tournaments, so it was kind of uncharted territory for us. I mean, only getting two starts in the fall, you know, I think that, I think everybody was kind of learning, you know, sort of different ways to go about not playing as many tournaments as usual. So I think that at this point in the season, you know, I think everybody's had enough sort of under their belt, you know, to kind of get into some good form and to start really performing. And, you know, I think the expectations are a little bit higher. I mean, at this point, we've played quite a bit outside, and we've been fortunate to have some decent weather. So I think at this point, we're kind of squared away and ready to go.
And last thing here, your game, is it rounding where you want it to be?
Yeah, I mean, I've been working with our sports psych at school and stuff, and I think that, you know, that's really been helping out. So, yeah, I mean, it's to the point now where, yeah, I'm looking forward to playing this event for sure, and then getting home and playing some big events in the summer. Yeah.
Okay, we'll go now to Michael Sussman.
Mark, in your last win at Pete Dye, you went 70-69-65. What clicked for you on that last day, and how do you approach that challenge of kind of settling into a golf course over the course of an event?
So I think that nothing really changed for me as far as, you know, the ball striking goes, or, you know, anything as far as like different ways to go about certain holes or spots on the round. I think that, you know, coach sets the golf course up extremely difficult in the first round. So I think that knowing that, you know, it wasn't more conservative, but it was definitely more, you know, I didn't get as many looks, I would say, you know, good chances for birdie in the second and first round as the last. So I think that sort of the golf course setup kind of managed that. But as far as like settling into a tournament, I mean, you know, I think that, you know, I'm pretty comfortable at Pete Dye now. I think that, you know, just really, I would say that the expectations of that final round were, I kind of knew what to expect, if that makes any sense. So really just kind of focusing in on getting off to a good start. I mean, that was really all I was thinking about.
We'll go next to Sam. Sam, we can't, Sam, your microphone's not working.
You hear me now?
Yeah, we got you.
Sorry about that. Hey, Mark, so you made steady improvements every single season. And then this, heading into this season, obviously the Mountaineer Invitational helped with that, but you've shaved two or three strokes right off your scoring average. The offseason, is that putting? Is that focusing on the short game, or are you just kind of get everything better type of guy?
I think that maturity as a player is probably the biggest thing that I would say makes up for sort of those strokes. And that's just kind of learning, you know, a bunch of things. I mean, it's some technical work for sure. It's definitely some equipment stuff, but I think that just kind of being comfortable in on bigger stages and, you know, just kind of learning as a player, as far as some of the mental and management stuff go, I really think that's where it makes up a lot of ground. And then the summertime or the off season sort of, you know, I'm playing a lot more tournament golf than at school. So I think that that kind of process is sort of expedited in the summertime. So, you know, it's funny. I tell coach all the time, like from the guy that I, you know, the player that leaves in whatever early May and that returns back in the fall, a lot of times is pretty different in the 4 years I've been here. So
we will go next to Joe Bricado.
This is Rashawn. Sean, how do you guys set your lineup for the Big 12? Do you go in with qualifying in mind, or do you kind of lean on regular season results or recent results?
Yeah, when you get this far in the year, you kind of know everything you need to know about the players and about the lineup. And as I mentioned before, we have been to Prairie Dunes before, so we know what to expect. Yes, it's going to blow. I mean, the wind's going to blow, you know, 20, 30 miles an hour. But also the greens are very, very intricate. They're very subtle. So, you know, there's certain qualities about a player's game that's going to suit a golf course better. And so we kind of know about our lineup at this point in the year. We've been watching them play since August, and, you know, guys like Mark and Logan and Curtis have been watching for 3+ years. So we kind of know a lot about their game. And so I think at this point in the year, I don't want to stress the guys out with, you know, with qualifying. I'm just going to make our picks. But, you know, throughout the year, obviously we qualify, we compete. And that's how you get in the lineup. But at this point of the year, like my old boss used to say at Mississippi State, the hay is in the barn. You know, it's already done. So we kind of know who to go with. And we're going to put the best five out there that give us a chance to play well at Prairie Dunes.
Okay, back to John.
I guess I'm unmuted. Hey, Sean. You know the course probably better than your guys. And, you know, you talked about the wind and the conditions. Did you do anything at Pete Dye to try to get those guys prepared for that as much as you could, maybe with pin placements or things like that? And then what do you tell your guys when you know that you're going into an environment where the wind's going to blow the way it does?
Well, actually, yeah, today, believe it or not, it's going to blow about 20 to 25 down at Pete Dye. And it's going to be in the, upper 40s. And the final round at Prairie Dunes, it's going to be in the upper 40s and blow about 20 to 30 out of the north. So we're going to go out and just hit some shots today on the course. I mean, it's not, you know, we're not playing, so to speak, but I do want the guys hitting different shots into the wind, downwind, left to right, right to left winds, and just get comfortable with, you know, flighting their ball. Again, it's only one day, but it kind of gets them, you know, used to that a little bit. But yeah, it's hard to replicate the wind that's out there, but you know, we play in the spring and we've played in wind and rain and, you know, playing down at Bulls Bay off the coastal area in Carolina. We had a lot of wind there. So the guys have seen it throughout the spring. And if you've played enough college golf, you've played into wind. So they'll be ready for it. And, you know, we, like Mark kind of mentioned, we do set up our home tournament pretty hard. I mean, it might be one of the hardest setups in college golf. I mean, scoring average was 78 that first round, which makes Mark's, you know, performance even that much more impressive. But, you know, so we're ready. We basically saw a Big 12 championship in the fall at Colonial. And so this is sort of another opportunity to compete against the best on the championship golf course.
And for Mark, can you hit a low ball or do you hit a high ball? What's your, I see Sean smiling there.
Yeah, I think that Coach knows. I can flight it pretty well. I think that, I've been fortunate to play in some tournaments over my years here that have blown quite a bit. So that's definitely a skill I think a lot of players sort of learn in college. So at this point, I'm pretty comfortable with, you know, kind of what to expect and some different shots to hit. So yeah, I can flight it now, not so much freshman year as Coach knows, but I should be all right now.
How's your familiarity with the course, Mark?
I've heard great things about it from a bunch of different people, but I've never been down there, so it should be fun to see it for the first time.
So you're anxious to get out and get that practice round in to get a feel for the greens.
Yeah.
Hey, John. Yeah, definitely. Mark can fly his golf ball. He hit some low stingers with, you know, honestly with the driver, it's unbelievable. I just laugh because we stand on number six at Pete Dye and I'm up in the fairway and the tee kind of sits down in this bowl and you hit up and it looks like this thing is an airplane about to take off and it just never leaves the fairway. It runs out about 30, 40 yards. And so, yeah, freshman Mark Getz would have hit it up into the clouds, but he's, you know, that's just something you learn. Like he talked about just over time, you just kind of learn to play in the wind. So, and you know what's cool when the other guys see Mark doing that, they go, "Oh, how do you do that, Mark?" And so it sort of starts to trickle down into the lineup, which is pretty cool.
Well, I bring that up because I watched the Masters all last weekend, and a lot of the guys that were successful were the ones that were hitting those low stingers. So I guess that's becoming more common.
Yeah, definitely got to control your trajectory.
Okay, back to Michael.
Coach, just to touch a little bit more on the golf course, Prairie Dunes is definitely an interesting layout, sort of a Scottish Lynx vibe in the middle of Kansas. Aside from managing the wind, what are the keys to plotting your way around that course?
Yeah, so they built that golf course, I mean, in the golden age back in the 20s, 30s, and they used basically a mule and a plow. So, you know, the greens are so – they've got all these little movements to it, and, you know, they're very challenging. So it's basically the wind, and then around the greens you have to be really good. And it's – you know, it's so unique. Like you said, it's like Scotland in the middle of America. They've got these sand dunes out there. And what's beautiful about it is there are no houses. There's hardly, I don't even think there's a water hazard on the golf course, but still one of the most challenging courses in America. And it's basically, you know, 18 really unique, challenging green complexes and the wind. And that's what you're battling. And so it's pure golf, and we look forward to the unique challenge.
We'll go next to Kevin Kinder.
Hey, Coach. The uniqueness of this for managing, obviously, individual golfers, but maybe the team, you know, just as much as not more any other tournament this year. Once you get into that, into play, how do you kind of balance that, you know, and you know, working with guys having good days and maybe guys that aren't having such a good day?
Yeah, I think as a head coach, golf coach, I wake up each morning and I think about each player. I mean, I've got eight guys on the team, and which is kind of a small roster, which I do that on purpose. But I wake up and I think about those guys. And like you said, you've got some guys riding high, that building momentum. Let's use Mark as an example. I mean, he just won a tournament. You know, hopefully he's feeling great. And then you have some guys that know they're not even traveling to Prairie Dunes. They don't have a chance, and they, you know, are struggling and qualifying. And you got some guys in between. And so it's you try to figure out what does each player need that day or that week. And, you know, so that's the biggest challenge with our sport. Because let's use basketball or football as an example. Like, you either win or lose. I mean, it's 50% chance every time you go to the game. For us, there's 13 teams, 14 teams, and we may finish T6 or T12. Like, what does that mean? Is that good? Is that bad? And so there's always that's the biggest challenge, is you're treating these guys as a team, but you've got individuals that are, you know, struggling or doing great, and that's the difficult balance in coaching golf, such an individual sport that's sort of, you know, made into a team sport. And so that's definitely something that I battle, and I'll always struggle with, is, you know, trying to get everybody on the same page when they're really not. You know, let's just say it. Will Staples is not in the same boat as Mark Getz right now, but Will's time will be coming. Just like Mark, you know, didn't travel a lot his sophomore year, but his time was coming, and here it is now.
And then, Mark, when you're on the course, do you have an idea? Do you get any scores? Do you know what your teammates or other people are doing? Or is it you just really have to focus on what you're doing, worry about the scoreboard and where the team is after the round?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really look at live scoring too much. You know, obviously you can kind of tell, you know, some of the teammates that are around you, they're behind you, in front of you, kind of the body language and stuff, whether, you know, they're playing great or playing not. And, you know, for me, I mean, that some of that stuff doesn't really affect me. Some of the teammates, you know, as far as the body language goes, if it's bad, but really just kind of focusing in on myself, man, and just trying to stick to a game plan. And you know, it's not like laser focused, but it's, you know, it's just kind of going about my business, if that makes sense.
Go back to Sam.
Hey, Mark, you mentioned equipment earlier. What's in your bag, and how long have you been working with those tools?
Yeah, so equipment's a funny subject with me. I work at a fitting place, so I'm kind of a junkie, if that makes sense. So I've been playing, I got a Ping G410 driver, Ping G410 three wood, a Ping driving iron that was built by Joe Corsi of the fitting place I work at, the owner, who did a great job with that. That was a new addition this spring. I have Ping blueprint irons that I've been playing since last June. Some of the specs have changed. I've made some changes to some of the loft, the different irons. And then artisan wedges built by Mike Taylor in Fort Worth, Texas. That guy knows more about equipment than anybody I've ever met. It was really, really cool to work with him. And you know, I'm going to continue to work with him going forward on some of the wedges. And then the putter hasn't changed since I was a sophomore in high school. It's a Scotty Cameron. It's a Newport Superette GSS. I know that stuff's probably, you know, pretty intricate, but yeah, equipment, a lot of that stuff. The driver's probably made the biggest difference. I switched to that driver last June at the beginning of the summer, and it's probably one of the best I've ever played. I built that was the kind of the second try. I built that shaft. I was playing a different one before the one I have currently, but I think it was July, first week of July is when I put that shaft that I built into it, and I've been playing that since. So
those blueprints, those are blades, right? Are you a big shot shaper, or you just kind of try to laser it in there?
The reason that I play blades, I wouldn't play blades if my swing speed was a little bit lower. But as far as consistency goes, you know, kind of the less trampoline effect you have, the less cavity you have down there, it creates some sort of like a tighter dispersion with higher swing speeds. So that's really the only reason that I play blades. I would be playing some different stuff if my swing speed wasn't higher, but I've played blades since I think I was a sophomore in high school, something of that kind of shape. So that's really the only reason that I have, you know, blades in the bag.
We'll get back to Joe.
John, two for you. Last year going into the Big 12s, you knew your NCAA position was pretty strong. Do you have a similar view this year? Do you have a particular finish in mind that you need in the Big 12s to be in good shape? And how much of a lift was it to get Papanek? Was he way ahead of schedule coming?
Getting Pap back is huge for us. You know, Pap means a lot to this program, and you know, he played well the final round. If it wasn't for a double bogey, he would have finished under par. So he's ahead of schedule as far as physically, you know, being back. We just had to get him a bunch of reps, you know, let him, that's why I put him in qualifying and why he played in our home tournament. And then we just did a Mountaineer Cup, where we did a little inter-squad Ryder Cup thing this last weekend. And we played a lot of golf. I mean, we played 81 holes in 3 days. So played a lot. So just trying to build him back up to tournament ready. And he's part of the six that we're taking out there. And obviously we're only going to play five, but I do see him playing a big role for us. And as far as like what we need to do, I mean, we just got to play well. You know, all we can do is help ourselves. When you go to the Big 12 championship, you got the number one team in the country, Oklahoma. You got Texas, like number three, Oklahoma State's up there, Texas Tech, top 25, Baylor, top 30. So like everybody's good, you know, everybody's good in this conference. So all we can do is help ourselves, you know, and it's kind of like looking at live scoring during the tournament doesn't really help you play better. So looking at rankings right now doesn't really help us play better. All we got to do is get a game plan, go through our process, and play the best golf we can. And we may move up one spot. We may move up 30 spots. That's up to our performance. And so I look forward to seeing how the guys play well. And, you know, they know we need to play well. But at the same time, it's all we can do is help ourselves by playing in this championship.
Back to Michael.
Mark, as you look to dial it in for a championship event, who's somebody on the PGA Tour that you look up to as a competitor?
That's a good question. There's a handful of guys that I like watching. I would say right now it's probably Dustin Johnson, Cam Champ. I really like watching Cam Champ play. And then guys like Fleetwood, you know, that are really good ball strikers. I think those are three guys that, you know, regardless of what event's being played, you know, what week, those are three guys that I'll kind of sort of pick out and kind of watch pretty closely.
Plus he has Fleetwood hair.
Yeah.
If there's no further questions, John, you will have the final ones. John, you're muted.
Unmuted. Okay, last one for me. This is for Sean. I know you got to make your lineup. That's the first thing you got to do. But have you thought about how you're going to approach how you work your guys on the course? I know I'm sure some guys like information, some guys don't like information. How are you going to use what you know about the course to help your guys at the tournament?
Yeah, I think a big thing for us is the practice round. Obviously, you get to get a feel for the course. So we tend to spend a lot of time around the greens with lag putting, with 4-foot putts, and with chipping. And we'll do the same thing. I mean, that's what we do at every golf course, because you're not going to hit all 18 greens, you know, especially out of Prairie Dunes. So you have to have a good short game. So we do a lot of chipping, a lot of lag putting, and those crucial 4-foot putts that you just keep the round going. So we'll do that in the practice round. And luckily the wind on the practice round day is going to be the same direction and intensity pretty much as the first 2 days. So it totally flips the last day. But, you know, we're going to have a south wind pretty much Sunday for the practice round and all day Monday, all day Tuesday. So that'll be good for the guys to get a good feel. So at least three of the four rounds will have the same wind direction. And as far as what the guys want or need, you know, some guys like me or Clay walking with them. Some guys just want us on par threes. Some guys, you know, just want somebody to talk to. So we just kind of feel it out. I think, you know, being at par threes for the guys and getting a yardage and, you know, just knowing what to hit, what where to leave it, things like that is pretty big for this team. So Clay and I will do our best to kind of, you know, manage those holes and try to play as close to even par in those as we can, because typically the par threes are the most challenging on any golf course. That's where you play over par and then you make up ground on par fives. That's pretty much what we'll do out there at Prairie Dunes.
Last thing here with this course, is it more a deal of where to put it or where not to miss it?
I mean, it's like I said, the challenge here is the wind and the greens. So the hole locations are going to dictate, you know, where you want to be at certain times. And so, you know, it's just like anywhere else. You try to be below the hole, you know, so you got an uphill chip or an uphill putt, and just have good speed on the green. So there's not, like I said, there's not a lot of water, you know, there's not a lot of OB, anything like that. It's literally just kind of old school golf, like you said, playing over in Scotland or something like that. And you just have to have good angles and chipping uphill, putting uphill, and play solid golf.
And that was West Virginia coach Sean Kovich and senior Mark Goetz. West Virginia closed out their regular season last week by winning the Mountaineer Invitational at PDI Golf Club. Goetz won the individual title at 12 under par and was the only golfer in the field to shoot under par for the tournament. Thanks for listening.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.